before we turn to the more spiritual or theological ways of reflecting on Saints Joachim and Anne, let's pause just to express gratitude to God for grandparents. Just on the most natural level, on the most basic level, grandparents are a great invention, a great part of God's creation, a great part of the experience of the human family. Joachim and Anne are grandparents of Jesus, parents of Mary. But even if we set aside for a moment the idea of the Immaculate Conception and the Incarnation, which are, of course, transcendent mysteries, just on the natural level, what a richness there is in the influence of grandparents on the children and grandchildren. Sometimes great-grandchildren, but the lingering effect of the grandparents does extend through the generations. And this is simply the way the human family is. I see a lot of grandparents here, so this is a day to celebrate grandparents. In fact, the church now celebrates grandparents and the elderly on the Sunday closest to this feast day. It's going to come up on this upcoming Sunday, I think it's the 20th. 8th, is it? 28th? Sunday is the 28th? Yeah, so it's the World Day for Grandparents and the Elderly. Fourth World Day for Grandparents and the Elderly this Sunday. As if to highlight something that maybe in the past was more deeply appreciated and maybe even taken for granted, and now is at risk of being less appreciated and even forgotten. Although it seems to me that once people become grandparents, they are immediately aware of the special role that they have for their grandchildren. And grandchildren, if they have any relationship with their grandparents, usually really like their grandparents. Usually. Of course, there's exceptions. But there's something about this additional generation that establishes a bond with the family. It's like an umbrella. All the cousins, or the first cousins, share common grandparents. That sort of thing. It, the more you think about it, the more you realize, wow, this is just part of the beauty of the human family. There's a danger in our times that this very basic, this natural level is lost because there's less appreciation of the dignity of the elderly, where in cultures where people's value is measured by what they can earn or what they can produce, well, yes, elderly people, when they get frailer, they're not as valuable. They don't work for money anymore. But that's a very, very distorted understanding of the human person. But, you know, this happens, and that's why there's a strong push toward killing the elderly. You know that euthanasia is basically killing people. Killing them because they're suffering, killing them because they're expensive, killing them because it takes a lot of work to take care of them. Well, that's just a very sick way of thinking about people. No, we should treasure grandparents and the elderly. As I'm sure Jesus did as he was growing up and knew Joachim and Anne. Now, we don't know exactly what his relationship was with Mary's parents, but in almost every culture, every society in human history, the grandparents are part of the life of the grandchildren. Maybe they even live together. I don't know. Certainly live nearby. So that's part of what we reflect on today. Okay, so thanks be to God for this gift. Now let's take this feast day as an opportunity also to see how God is at work in this human reality, the human family. God chose to enter himself, enter into this family himself, to become one of us with us. And in order to do that, to be fully human, he had to be born. In order to be born, he had to have a mother. So this is, in some ways, a feast of Mary, the shrine, the ark, from whom God incarnate comes forth into the world. Well, in order to have a mother, she has to have a mother. That's Saint Anne, Santa Ana. We don't know the names of Mary's parents from the Bible. We just know them from ancient church tradition. But we know that they were real people because everybody has parents, and Mary had parents. And these parents, this man and this woman, Joachim and Anne, were chosen by God as the place in which a new humanity would arise, a sinless humanity. Remember, the Immaculate Conception enters into time in the womb of Anne, in the marriage of Joachim and Anne. Joachim and Anne are so blessed that they become the place, if I could say it that way, the shrine in which the Immaculate Conception begins, in which sinless humanity starts again. It's as if Joachim and Anne are the new garden of Eden, where the new Eve is going to be planted. So we're talking about some profound invasion of grace into the human family. Joachim and Anne are sinners. They're fallen people. They're not perfect, but they must have been extraordinarily holy and extraordinarily sensitive to the will of God and to the action of God, so that they became excellent guides for Mary as she was being raised, so that she could be an excellent mother and excellent wife in the Holy Family. The psychologists are always saying this. Most of what we learn about human dynamics, especially about marriage and family life, we get from our parents. And a lot of it we learn before we're 3 years old. I mean, we kind of absorb it. The emotional dynamics, the respect or lack of it, the conflict resolution, the prayer, relationship with God, respect for creation, all these things are planted in children at very young ages. Now, yes, we can grow, we can change, we can experience conversion, but the natural foundation for these things starts so young. So since Mary is a sinless person and was chosen to be the mother of God, she was given very fine parents. We only know that from deduction. We don't know them directly, but we can figure it out. If you were God and you were going to choose parents for the mother of your son, who would you choose? Well, you would choose the best ones you could find. And so that's certainly what happened. Now, there are special readings suggested for this feast, but we didn't use them. We're just using the readings of the day, Friday of the 16th week. But it happens that this first reading, a selection from early part of Jeremiah's book, mentions something that is connected to Joachim and Anne and to Mary. This is one of the passages where the prophet, or God through the prophet, speaks about the restoration of his people after their exile. I'm going to take you back. I'm going to take you, bring you back to Zion, Jerusalem. I'm going to appoint over you shepherds after my own heart. That shepherd theme was very strong last Sunday. And we know that God himself is the shepherd, and Jesus is the shepherd who reveals the shepherd's heart of God. But then it says here, they will in those days no longer say the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. They will no longer think of it or remember it or miss it or make another. Now the Ark, remember, was the most precious item in the Jewish religious ritual. I mean, it was the throne of God. It was the representation of the presence of God, the Ark. And here, the prophet is saying, they're not even going to think about the Ark anymore. As if, just forget about it. It's weird. But remember, the Ark was lost when the people of God were driven into exile and Jerusalem was destroyed and the temple was destroyed. No one knows what happened to the ark. It was lost, but I mean that was a deep grief in the heart of the Jewish people. But here the Lord is saying, when I bring you back, you're not going to worry about the ark, because Jerusalem will be the Lord's throne. Jerusalem will be the place where all the nations are gathered. That they don't need an ark; they need a contact point with God. Now, the reason I emphasize this is because one of the titles of the Blessed Virgin Mary is the Ark of the Covenant, and so the fulfillment of this prophecy is more clearly, or more specifically, applied to Mary. Why do we not need a golden box with acacia wood covered with gold? Because we have the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's why we don't need the Ark of the Covenant anymore. We don't even have to think about it. Now, we do think about it because it represents so much, but it's also a precursor of the real Ark, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And that Ark, the Virgin Mary, was not created out of wood. It was formed, or she was formed, in the womb of St. Anne. So that's a little prophetic hint here in the third chapter of Jeremiah, pointing toward the Blessed Virgin Mary and making us think about the preciousness of Joachim and Anne. Now, in the Gospel, we hear Jesus' explanation of the parable of the sower. We heard the parable on Wednesday, now we're getting the explanation. I'd like to focus only on the rich soil, because this is a feast day of rich soil, Joachim and Anne. Rich soil bears fruit and yields 100 or 60 or 30-fold. Now, the soil can't determine on its own what fruit it will produce, right? It has to receive the seed. So it's the credit doesn't all go to Joachim and Anne. They were just good soil. So they were very good soil. And the Lord planted in their marriage good seed, and they bore great fruit. Now, they, as far as the tradition goes, they only had one child, and they had her when they were old enough. We don't know, but it's the tradition. But you say, well, they only had one daughter, and she only had one son, and he didn't have any children. That doesn't seem very fruitful. Well, we're not talking about simply human generation. We're talking about the flood of divine grace, the extraordinary flood is the best word, ocean of grace that comes to us from this good soil of Joachim and Anne. They heard the word and understood it. We don't know how much they heard and understood, but they must have had a great understanding of the importance of yielding fully to the plan of God, to the Word of God. Very faithfully. Faithful to God, faithful to one another, and entirely dedicated to raising their daughter. And it bore good fruit, because she's good fruit. And she bore good fruit, and the fruit is Jesus himself. There's no measuring the fruit. It's infinite fruit, because it's God himself coming forth from human generation. Well, so we celebrate grandparents, yes. But we also celebrate God, the work of God through grandparents. The hidden work of God. The kind of nameless fruitfulness of grandparents. Who knows what the influence of grandparents is on not only on the grandchildren, but on the whole human family? Who measures it? Well, it's measureless. If it's in cooperation with the plan of God. And that's what we're celebrating here. God's intense desire to save his family, to shepherd his people, to rescue the exiles, not just exiled in Babylon, but exiled in darkness. And God wants us all to be brought home. And so he establishes this beautiful, inspiring, mysterious way to do it through human agents, through the human family.